The title of this message is, You Have New Reality to Live In. And I'm going to read this passage for you today in John chapter 21, verse 15 to 19. So follow with me as we go about with this passage. So get ready to hear what God has to say. In verse 15, it says, When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And the Bible says Peter was hurt, but he forgot that he denied Christ three times. Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. When I start reading this passage, I try to bring back the memories of what Peter had done. I go back to the past, and I realize Peter was just like many of us. When you have done something wrong, or things that you should have done but you did not do, it troubles you. It troubles you because you saw the consequence. And it troubles you so much that it lives with you. It stays inside of your mind, inside your heart. You couldn't erase them. You downloaded the negative consequence and the negative thoughts that you had. It just downloaded into the hard drive of your mind. And it started to corrupt your soul. And you started to feel guilty about those things. If we have done something that is not right, it stays with us for a while. You keep thinking. You keep rehearsing those thoughts. The words that you said to somebody, you keep rehearsing those thoughts because you suddenly feel bad about those words. And it started to become guilty. Troubled mind goes on and on and on and on without an answer. Sometimes we ask a question, if only I would have done this. If only I would have changed my words. If only I did not dismiss him rudely. If only I did not beat him. If only. And the mind of Peter went through the rehearsal. What was the rehearsal? Because he remembered he denied Christ. And he also saw the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So each time when he looked at it, in his mind, it just go on and on, and he was extremely troubled. Simon Peter looked hard into his head. He would probably have asked the question and couldn't find an answer. Why did I shrink out at that time? Why did I not stand up and defend my Lord? Jesus needed him most at the time, and Peter denied him three times. We did that before. We did not deny Christ, but we have dishonored Christ. And we did that in the past, maybe 2010, 2011. It carries on till 2019. But today is the day that you are going to stop in the power of his name. Peter denied Christ when he needed most. It troubles him badly. And all of us have been where Peter had been. You did something that you never can forget. You spoke to somebody and you probably regretted. You made a positive move one day, and then you turn around and make a negative move. Thinking through our actions, rehearsing them, can be very painful. Peter was running through his thoughts, his denial, his betrayal. He recalled all of them, and it still bothered him, even after Jesus was raised from the dead. Peter recalled his overconfident statement. You remember he said one time, he said to the Lord, he says, if other disciples deserted you, I will not. He said it so confidently. And he also told that he will not leave the Lord because he loves the Lord. However, many of us, look at the next line, our action and our words did not synchronize. We said one thing, but we live in another way. Some of us, we gave our life to the Lord. We say, Father, I surrender. I want to live right with you. The next thing you know, you turn around and you live the wrong way again. Sometimes we wonder, how could someone like Peter, who labors for God's name, yet one day denies Christ? Why? Because it did not synchronize with what he confessed. There are people who confess, yes, I want to follow Jesus, but they refuse to abide in the Lord. So in Peter's conscience, we are just as bad as him. He was condemned by his own failure. And some of us don't realize that we carried the same condemnation for many years. And this guilt lingers through our lives and our soul. And it hammers down in our mind. It chains our mind. And also corrupts our soul. Brothers and sisters, it is necessary that you know this. It's time to arrest the situation. It's time to dig it up. Take all this poisonous seed and cast it out in the name of Jesus Christ. If you don't do that, it will grow into a stronghold. What will happen when you hold on to it? Listen to me. Spiritually, you get tired. We hear people keep saying, oh, I'm so tired. I'm jaded by all these spiritual things that I have to do. Pastor keeps hammering me and saying, this is the life you should have. And we get so tired, we do not want to hear it. We are so consumed with the silliness and the foolishness in our mind. We are so chained up with a silly denial. We are so chained up with a silly disobedience. You know why you get tired? Listen, brothers and sisters. The reason why you get tired of the spiritual thing, because you are not bringing into your life with spiritual replenishment. There is no spiritual supply because you clogged up the supply. You refuse the spiritual nourishment. And you know what happened when you refuse spiritual nourishment with the living word? You become malnourished and you become weary. And when you become weary and tired, you could not get off the hook. You get so accustomed to the weariness and you decided to turn out and turn around and walk to the opposite direction. God is saying to us that Peter has been so trapped by his spiritual denial. And because of that, I want to enlighten you with the book of John chapter 21 by looking at the earlier passage and see what happened then before we understand the passage that we just read. The earlier passage we understand from the Bible is that Simon Peter and six other disciples went out fishing at the Sea of Galilee. Am I right or not? And as they were going out, they were fishing all night. And what did the Bible say? They caught nothing. So when they caught nothing, all of a sudden, there was this man standing at the shore in whom we already know because of what the scriptures say, Jesus stood there. And what did Jesus say to them? He called out unto them in verse 5 and verse 6. He said, friends, haven't you any fish? In other words, did you catch anything? They answered, no. The disciples answered, no, we caught nothing. Listen to the passage. Jesus did not ask any question about the boat. He did not say, did you face the right position? What about your net? Are there any holes on the net? He didn't ask any question regarding the location of the boat. He just called out to them and said, throw your net on the right side of the boat. And as I read this, the Lord dawned on me that Jesus gave a new plan, gave a new approach. You know why? Listen to this. This is so necessary. The present reality that you have is your present plan that is not working. Are you with me? Jesus did not tell them to row their boats further away. He said, throw your net on the other side. Brothers and sisters, you can't leave your old way and expect results. If you do not have any results in your present time, start changing your approach. Start changing your plans to God's plans. God is here wanting you to have a fruitful year, and He wants you to cast your net on the right side. He's giving you a new plan. Are you with me? He's giving you a new plan. He's giving you a new plan. You know, one of the sad images is this. We are doing the same thing with the same attitude and we expect new results. I'm not going to stand around and see you doing the same thing and expect new results. If you are not going to be changed, you don't expect new results. Your intellectual, self-crafted ideas, unsanctified, unfiltered thing, and then yet you are expecting God to give you results. Brothers and sisters, many of us are still living on the same side and we caught nothing. Just like the disciples, we scream out and said, Lord, we have been casting our net all day long and we have caught nothing. Now you are asking us to cast the net on the right side. Lord, what is the difference? Why on the left side no fish? Why on the right side? It is absurd. How many of you know God works with absurdity? You know what's the difference? The difference is not the net. The difference is not the location. The difference is not about the boat. The difference is God. Are you there? God makes the difference. So look at the next slide. Throw your net on the right side of the boat. You know why? Because that's where your faith operates. That is where trust generates. That's where grace itself will stimulate. That's where the supernatural and the anointing of God will be demonstrated. We need to cast the net on the right side, because that is God's new plan for 2020 in Jesus' name. Don't ever go with the same old approach, the foolishness of your ideas, and yet you expect results. It will never come to pass. Get out of that old ways. Get out of that old character. Get out of the old attitude. Because you will never get on to the results that God wants you to have. Change your approach, brothers and sisters. Change your approach. I remember a little story. It was embedded in my head. You know, a group of friends was trying to help their peers. One of the guys who never seems to get a date with any girls. How many of you know what I'm talking about? All right. I know some of you are Casanovas. You know, wherever you go, you got girlfriends, right? You know, unlike this young man. So the friends around him tried to spruce him up, tried to tell him the kind of fashion you should have and how you should walk with that kind of style, with that kind of grace, and the girls will be attracted to you. And they were telling him over and over again. And every time he looks at himself in the mirror, he tries to make the movement. He tries to have the swag. He tries to move around with that pants that is a fashionable pants. In those days, we call it the belt bottom. And so he need to walk like John Travolta so that he will find girls attracted to him. And so he did everything he could. And at the end, when they went out in a group dating, yet no girls want to be with him. Physically, he was changed. Am I right or not? But then they say, what's wrong, man? He looks cool. He looks cool, by the way. And so they found out, the guys found out, why he's not getting girls. You know why? Because the moment he opens his mouth, no girls want to be with him. So it was not about the fashion. It was not about the swag. It's not about the way he walks and the way he moves. They forgot is the way he talks, that no girls want to be with him. It comes out of his character. No girls want to be with him. You see, friends, changing our approach simply talks about changing our attitudes. We need to have a change of our attitude in order to be found in the presence of God. Look at the next slide. We are given this life to live in the new reality. We need to live where the presence of God is. Are you with me? We need to ask ourselves, where is the presence of God? Would the Lord be pleased in this kind of environment? Would the Lord be pleased with this type of attitude? Would the Lord be pleased? You can go around trying to believe that God is there, but if your attitude is wrong, friends, the presence of God is not there. His love is still with you, I know, but His presence of God is not there. So what do you and I do? We should always look at some of the old stuck-up life that need to be dealt with. Our old stuck-up life need to be get rid of. The filth, the dirt that clog up, the pursuit for betterment. It has been there. We need to get those things cleansed. We need to have those areas to be worked at in the new reality, because the new reality requires a new being. So church, if you look very carefully at what the disciples had done, they cast the net on the other side. Their obedience to the new plan had now positioned them for God's miracle to happen. I want to pray for the miracle of God to take place in this church. And we need that miracle to take place every day of our lives. And you and I don't even know that it was actually happening. Sadly, many of us are not aware, neither excited about it. I am excited when Zacharin says that she has a new what? Washing machine? Oh, dishwasher is a prophetic word, so. And I noticed, I was sitting there, every one of you are excited and we clap, yes, you got a new washing machine. But if I were to say that I want to thank God that God dealt with my heart and He changed my life, I don't think anybody claps. Only Anna knew where I was coming from. Seriously, come on, church, listen carefully. If I were to talk about somebody experience a miracle in this church, I'm not too sure whether you're excited about it. You know, I was just sharing with Jeffrey, Helen, and her sister, and I was just talking about a church in Malaysia, in Penang. It's a dialect church. It's called Hokkien Church. I can't forget the experience I had in that church. I was a speaker, but the testimony that all these folks that came up started to share the testimony for 1 hour plus. Nobody complained. Nobody complained, not like some of us would if there's 1 hour plus preaching. Because I remember when one pastor said, okay, I don't like to preach long, you know, and somebody shouted, praise God, amen. So this church, I sat there and I listened to the testimony. Listen to this. The testimony was so, so simple. And elderly folk just say that I had a radio and it didn't work. And somebody was telling me that he was driving a car. It didn't work at that time, so I do not know what to do. I lay my hand on the engine and I pray and the engine works. Wow. You guys, I'm not too sure how genuine you are when you start clapping like that. But just now when the washing machine, everybody claps. We get excited. Yeah, praise God. Nothing wrong with that. Would you rejoice with me and say that I got a bigger car? Would you rejoice with me if I said I got bigger faith for 2020? You see, you guys are not real. Because it's not real. Right? Because it's after all that I said. And it's true, the church was so simple in their faith that elderly folks just said, my radio didn't work, and my daughter said, Ayama, change the battery. So I listened to my children, I changed the battery, it still didn't work. So, and she testified, since it didn't work, I got so fed up. I remember my pastor, she said, my pastor told me to lay hand and pray. And this elderly lady, what she did was lay hand and pray. Within that second, the radio works. Praise God. I'm so glad for Anna and these people, and the rest of you backsliders. Are we excited for miracles? Do you know there are little miracles that you have that you don't even know? There are times when we are near to an accident and yet we were saved. Isn't it true? And some of you, if I were to drive on the road, you will probably be the one that I will scold and shout first. Because the way you drive, you'll probably end up in the ditch. And yet you are still alive. Praise God for that, don't you think so? Praise God. But don't take God's grace for granted, will you please? And sometimes when we start praying and we get some smooth road, we didn't even know that the angels of God was there. And you came to the church and you thought everything is to be taken for granted. It's all natural. No, there is nothing natural when you live in Christ, because everything you have in Christ is supernatural. I live with God every day, and I trust Him for miracles every day. Just not long ago, 2 days ago, I told my wife I got a heartburn. And I was getting up in and out, and I didn't want to disturb my wife. I was having a heartburn. I do not know what the cause, and I got so fed up. I lay down and said, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to put my hand on my chest and start praying, Lord, Your mercy be extended upon me, because I need a good sleep. And Lord, I can't function the next day if I don't have a good rest. So please, Lord, heal my heartburn. Instantly, the heartburn went off. I'm going to wait for next week and see what happens when we testified about a miracle of God. It's very true. I had a few near accidents. Not here, but in Malaysia. As I traveled along the highway. And I want to thank God that God did the miracle. You see, what happened was, when the miracle took place, you look very carefully at the text. John saw something beyond the fish. And he turned to Peter, I think I know who is that person. I think it's the Lord, he said. Oh, I think it's the Lord. Most of us were probably, the disciples didn't think of that. They were so excited with the fish. They were all pulling the net. Whoa, look at the fish. Look at that, so much. It was John who saw beyond the fish. You see, many a time when we are in church, we are very prone to look at the fish rather than beyond the fish. We saw the product, but we didn't see the producer. And many a time we come to church, we did not realize the miraculous catch is actually the sign of Jesus stepping into the new reality. And that was the miracle sign. Miraculous catch is the sign of God stepping into your miracle. Today, many of our believers today are looking at the fish. When we come to church, we're looking at what we can get. We forgot the producer. We forgot that it was God who gave us. We forgot that. And Simon got so excited that he quickly jumped and swam to the shore. And this is something you and I need to realize. When the moment you listen and hear it is God, you notice that God showed up. God just showed up right at the shore. And he was excited. He went. He wanted to meet this person, Jesus. Because Jesus, when he showed up, he wants to get over into your new reality when your present reality is not producing anything. How many of you know that in our life, there are times when we look around, we say, I'm not that successful. I'm not doing very well. I'm just doing very average. But I want to excel. I want to excel. I want to get better. And the Lord gave you a new plan. The moment he gave you a new plan, he showed up and he's stepping into your new reality. When he steps into your new reality, now my question is, are you willing to get into the new reality? Because that's where the presence of God is. And so I need that in order for me to experience the power and the presence of God. He shows up every time. How many of you know that he even show up in your kitchen? Somebody say amen. He can speak to you while you're in your kitchen. How many of you know that he can show up even while you're driving in the car? How many of you know that he can even show up while you're alone, closing your eyes in the personal closet and meditating upon God's goodness? How many of you know that he can even show up in your private spaces? He can. And when he showed up, it's because he wants to step into your new reality. Come on. He wants that. But are you willing to step in with him? Are you willing to come along with him today? You look carefully. You are given that new reality to live. You know why, friends? Because Simon need to be blessed. But the problem is that he was guilty and he was bothered in his heart. When a person is constantly condemned with the guilt, he cannot pursue for betterment in the future. So what happened was when he swam right to the shore, Jesus was there, had a little bit of breakfast with them, come along with a fish burger. And so Peter is now being approached by Jesus. Listen to this. This is the second part where we want to see the revelation of God. Jesus approached Peter, okay, and wanting him to be accustomed to this new reality. Watch this. Every one of us know that in this new reality, there's going to be a supernatural provision. Somebody say amen. And in this new reality, when you stepped in, God is expecting obedience, and also your guilt will be taken away. No condemnation in Christ, okay? So Peter is now getting over his past failures and past disappointments. Because the Lord knows that you and I cannot enjoy the new reality if you are stuck in your old and past failures. So this is what happened. Jesus approached Peter with the new reality. And this is how he approached. And the passage we just read. Jesus asked Peter publicly. Listen to the word. Publicly, do you love me more than this? You must understand, Peter is going through a bothered mind. His guilt is still there. Now Jesus is approaching him and saying, "Do you love me, Peter?" And Jesus is approaching him publicly for the guilt that he kept privately. Oh, you're not getting there? Come on. I'm going to say that one more time. Jesus approached him publicly for the guilt that he was keeping privately. Do you know that many a time you can keep your filth and your dirt and all your condemnation and your failures inside? Nobody knows. But when the Lord comes, he confronts you publicly because you have been keeping it quietly. You understand what I'm saying? You know who had that? King David committed adultery privately, secretly. When everybody has gone out to war, he was at the palace at the balcony, and he was the first peeping Tom. And when he saw a beautiful girl. I will not go on and on that, because some of you will probably try to visualize. He saw what he saw, and all the while he thought, yeah, it's okay. Nobody knows. Some of us will be clicking on pornography. Nobody knows. My father didn't see me. Wow. Isn't it true? That's what happened in our society. Am I right or not? So what happened was David did that privately. And the Lord sent prophet Nathan. Hey, Nathan, that's your name. Praise God. And prophet Nathan went to him and said openly what he had done. Brothers and sisters, God is going to approach us all that we are keeping privately in our lives. So what did Jesus do? Peter, do you love me? You see, many a time when we have done wrong, and you know what? I've learned this secret right now. Truly, I learned this secret. I won't be saying to you, oh, sir, you have done this badly and you are wrong. And know what I'll do? I will go to the person, do you love Jesus? Seriously, if any one of you have done wrong, I'm going to ask you the same question. Do you love Jesus? Oh, Peter was just looking at the Lord. Yes, I love you. Wow, that's good, Peter. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter, do you love me? God, are you crazy? Why are you asking me three times? Do you love me? Church, I'm going to ask you one question. If Jesus were to speak to you and ask you, do you love me? What would you answer? You probably will answer, Lord, I'm going through this pain. Lord, why can't you mitigate this pain? Lord, I'm going through the hardship. Why don't you take away this hardship? Oh, Nathan, do you love me? Lord, I'm going through so much trouble. Can you please take away this trouble? Ezra, do you love me? Lord, I do not know. You gave me so many children. I'm having a lot of headache right now. Oh, yes, he's going to ask every one of us, do you love me? But we will never answer yes because we keep on saying, Lord, please handle my problem. Am I right or not? And this is what God is saying to us through this passage. Would you answer just as Peter answered? Yes, Lord, I love you. You know why? Listen to this. The real problem is not his failure. The real problem is what he's holding on tightly in his heart. Because Peter is trapped by his guilt. Jesus was not dealing with his failure. Jesus was dealing with a heart that is trapped. And some of us here, we are condemned by our failures, but the Lord is not here to condemn us. He wants to set you free in Jesus' name because your heart has been corrupted by what you have been holding on tightly. Jesus is here to set you free from the feeling of failure, not the failure. He's doing that. And David, there was a time he wrote in the book of Psalms. He said, my sins are ever before me. When I wake up in the morning, I still remember. And that is exactly what many people would have gone through. Jesus is here to set us free. Are you with me? We need to be freed from that condemnation. We need to be freed from your intimidation. We need to be freed from our self-confidence. We need to be set free and be humble in Jesus Christ. So you want to get into the new reality? You need to be freed from the heart that is so trapped by the guilt in Jesus' name. We cannot be the one that God wants us to be if you hold on to your old self. That old person is now crucified and buried at Calvary. Jesus is more concerned of who you are right now and not who you were last week, not who you were last month, not who you were last year. He wants you to see what you can be for 2020 in the name of Jesus. Then you remember in whom the Son sets free. You are free indeed. Somebody say amen. In whom the Son sets free, you are free indeed. Listen to this. If you are not set free, you will probably still live on with this. Yes, I'm disappointed for not doing what I should have done. You probably said, yes, I failed him, but I do not know what to do. Yes, I regretted badly, but I'm still very much trapped in where I am. Yes, 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 you have done all that you have done, and you could not change. But friend, yesterday is behind you. Today is before you in the name of Jesus. And the Lord says, in whom the Son sets free, you can be free from the bondage of the evil one. I can lift up my hands and the enemy will not oppress me. I can rejoice and the enemy will not cause me to despair. I can worship him and the enemy cannot downtrodden me. I can lift up my head and I said, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Come on, give him the loud praise. Praise the Lord. Jesus is stating to Peter publicly, telling him, you cannot be blessed if you continue to be bothered. You can never be blessed if you continue to have your guilt. The Lord is desiring to work inside of him now, to set him free from that torch. And listen to this. This is another. Look at the slide. Do you love me more than this? I keep repeating that word. Do you love me more than this? So anytime when I come to you, you have done wrong, I won't say you have done wrong. I will say, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? And you know something I noticed when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? I never see a word from Jesus' mouth, I forgive you. Jesus didn't say that word. But he did forgive him. But he didn't say the word. How do you know he forgave him? Look at it. Jesus ended up forgiving him by giving Peter an assignment. Look at that, brothers and sisters. He forgave him by giving him an assignment. He said, feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep. Feed my lambs. You know, brothers and sisters, after time we look at it and say, God, forgive me, because the redemptive work of Jesus is the forgiveness of our sins. And when you are forgiven, and we thought we are all okay, that's the problem. You know, we have never taught people when the moment you come before the Lord and ask God to forgive you and to become a child of God, he actually gave an assignment. He gave us an assignment to honor him. He gave us an assignment to serve him. He gave us an assignment to live for him. He gave us an assignment to worship him. He gave us an assignment to continue to lift up his holy name. He gave us an assignment. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't mean when you give your life to Jesus, you are free to do anything. He gave us an assignment as a sign of our forgiveness from the Lord. Are you with me? He gave us assignment, and you probably may not understand. You probably ignore it, but that is the result of restoration. An assignment is given to us. I live in the new reality, not defined by my feeling. I live in the new reality is defined by my assignment. The moment I gave my life to Jesus and became a Christian, and we often use this word, I received the call. I do believe that all of us was given the call. we were given the call, which I will interpret as the assignment. Are you there ready to worship God? That is your assignment. I have a deep concern. Have you received the forgiveness of God? A behavior is definitely required to be changed in the key of restoration. Behavior needs to be changed. Let me illustrate my point. Are you ready for that? It's about marriage. When you are ready to get married, some of you are not even ready, but you want to get married. So listen to this. So when you want to get married, do you know you are stepping onto a different zone? And that zone is what we call a new reality, right? New reality. And that new reality requires a change in your attitude and behavior, because you're entering into a marriage life. And that marriage life cannot hold on to the life that you had in the past. It's not possible, because the life in the past is that you are living by yourself. Hello? So nobody cares about your idiosyncrasies. Nobody cares because you're living by yourself. Now you're entering into marriage and you're going to have somebody with you. You can never get into a successful, victorious marriage if you want to live by your old life, because now you're living with another person. You cannot be selfish anymore by your own standards. So it is the same when you step into the new reality. Behavior and character needs to be changed. Am I right or not? If you want to see progress and prosperity taking place within the marriage, we oftentimes said in marriage or premarital is that you have to be changed for the other person. Most of the time, people will say this: don't worry, I will marry her or him. I will help to change her. All the best to you. You don't live to change the other person. You live to change for the other person. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said this before to somebody. If you sow monstrous seed into your wife, don't be surprised she become a monster. Am I right or not? Isn't it true? If you sow seeds into your husband with all this monstrous, ugly seed, he will become one. And then you say, hey, I didn't know I married such a person. You just sown something into the person's life. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? How many of you married understand what I'm saying? Okay? Praise God. All right, so I'm not too sure who is the monster right now. So, but listen. Don't get into this trouble, because this is exactly what the Lord is saying. You step into the new reality, you are given the new assignment. And that assignment is to honor your wife, honor your husband. That assignment is to serve your husband or your wife. You do that. You understand what I'm saying? It's not about you anymore. It's about both of you. Two shall become one. When you take your given assignment in the new reality, you will answer like Peter answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. The moment you say, I love you, there should not be any more betrayal. There should not be any more denial. And it's the same with marriage. You don't betray your spouse. You don't deny your spouse. You understand what I'm saying? So here Jesus is saying, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. So now stop having this betrayal. Stop denying. Stop rolling your eyes when you talk to somebody. You can't be despising people anymore the moment you say, I love you. You can't be looking down on other people. You can't be saying, I don't like him. You can't, because the moment you said you love Jesus, you can't be doing that, because the Lord said, if anybody do not love his brother, how can he say he loves the Lord? You have to bless others. You have to look after each other. You have to care for one another. You have to make sacrifices for one another. And that is exactly what new reality is. It's not about living for yourself. It's about living for somebody now. And I'm living for Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. So listen to this. Listen to this one. The moment Peter agrees with the assignment, okay? You look at the verse. Jesus came to him and said, follow me. The moment he agrees with the assignment, then Jesus says, follow me. How many of us are ready to follow Jesus? How can we follow Jesus when we are not ready to take any of his assignment? Not ready even to honor, not ready to bless another person, not ready even to make sacrifices. How can we follow Jesus? But in this particular case, look at the whole text. You will notice one thing. Peter failed the Lord. Am I right or not? And now the Lord has approached him with the new reality and helped him to accustom to that. And then when he have all that done, the Lord is giving him a second chance. You know what the second chance? Follow me. That's the second chance. You know what happened in the second chance? He followed the Lord. And when he followed the Lord, you look at the book of Acts, chapter 2. When he followed the Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him. They were all baptized in the Holy Ghost. And he stood up before the crowd and preached the word that 3,000 came and gave their life. That is the power of the new reality. That is the power of the anointing when you step into the new reality. This is where you as the body of Christ, don't stand there and look up to the sky and say, I don't know what I'm doing here. If you do not know what you're doing here, you are in the wrong place. Because the body of Christ is the place where you will lift up your hand and say, Father, I'm going to step into the new reality. I'm going to walk in the new reality. I know that you have given unto me. I want to rejoice in you because in that new reality, there is supernatural provision and all the condemnation is taken away. The blood of Jesus has cleansed me and I'm going to walk in the freedom of the Lord. And when I do that, I'm going to follow Jesus. And say, Lord, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to worship you. There is nothing in this world that will dampen me. I have the freedom of the Holy Spirit because he has set me free. I am free indeed. And when I worship him, I know the presence of the Lord will come and the power of the baptism shall flood into my soul and I will rejoice in him and I will preach the word and all mankind will know that Jesus is alive. We are given the new reality to live for this new year. This new reality is about Christ. Brothers and sisters, the new reality is not happening yet. Because this message is to invite you to enter into the new reality. This message is not the new reality. It's inviting you to enter into new reality. If you don't understand what I'm saying, it's like a menu. You go to the restaurant, they give you the menu. That is the message. But the food hasn't come yet. Are you with me? It's like a menu. And you start reading the menu and they invite you to order your food. But the menu is not the reality. The food hasn't come yet. We need to make a decision. The message is to draw you to enter into the new reality where Jesus has spoken. He's telling every single one of you, don't live with your past failures. I know some of your past failures. I will not even bother to describe them. But don't dare even to take about or think about or talk about your past failure. Because 2020 is about you getting out of the past failure. And you know what? When you take into the new reality, that's where your faith starts to grow. That's where your trust begin to generate. That's where the anointing of God start to demonstrate. That's where the grace of God will start to stimulate you. You need to step into the new reality. And somebody saying, amen and amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.